And welcome again to College Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holley. This episode will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Middlesbrough at Craven Cottage. We'll also be discussing the new deal for Ross McCormack, and we'll be playing his interview that you might have seen on the Fulham website. We'll also be playing the interview done earlier today with the Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović by Sarah Brooks. We'll be playing both interviews, and we have much to get through. But before we get going, I have to bring on my College Talk co-host back to the show. Mr. Holley, how you doing?
Hello, I have some bad news for you tonight, Russ.
What's the bad news, David?
Well, the new Mark II post-operative, more positive, less sceptical Holley, I'm afraid, he's not very well today. So he's taking the show off. So I'm afraid the original Holley, Mark I, is here in his place.
Okay. Well, I look forward to talking to whichever Holley I'm talking to.
No, I'm sure it'll be fun nevertheless, but I'm feeling in quite a skeptical and scathing mood today, so I have a few controversial things to say maybe.
Oh, wonderful controversy. Looking forward to that, David. Before we get to talking about Ross McCormack, I just want to mention this. I was let known about this earlier this week that Sam Green, who actually sends us all the audio clips, his last day with Fulham Football Club was today. He was the video and content manager, and Sam has actually become a good friend. And I met him in Jacksonville about 18 months ago, and it was great to meet him and hang out with him in the press box when we were watching the friendly for Fulham. You know, again, boy, it's coming up. This summer will be 2 years. But I wish him the best. He's taking a similar job in a different sport, but I do want to wish him the best. He will be missed, but he'll always be part of the Fulham family. And, Sam, if you're listening, thank you so much for all that you did for Cottage Talk. Just sending us those audio clips was very helpful. But more importantly, you are a friend. So wish you the best in your future endeavors. All right, David, let's now get to talking about Ross McCormack. I'm just going to read the announcement from the Fulham website and get your thoughts on it. This is from yesterday. The club is delighted to announce that Ross McCormack has today signed a new contract with Fulham. Again, this is from yesterday. Following the summer extension, which tied him to the Whites until 2019, McCormack has been duly rewarded for his excellent form this season and last. And to further demonstrate his loyalty, the new deal has an option to extend until the summer of 2020. All right, David, we have to start here. What are your thoughts on this new deal for Ross McCormack?
Well, I'm sorry, and I doubt many people are going to back me on this one, but actually, I was quite pissed off when I saw this. Not just the deal, but the wording, you know, the reward for loyalty. This was someone who couldn't wait to get away from us, apparently, a few weeks ago in the transfer window. This is someone who's very well paid, who came to Fulham on a great contract anyway. The contract was enhanced only last summer, more money, and now it's an even more money. And it's not actually any longer as such. It's just got an option of an extra year. So we're now committed to pay him more money and keep him perhaps potentially into his old age when his value would have gone down. And I think we're trying to, on one hand, keep the finances in check. We've been hit by this FFP and everything, and then we're going out spending money on a player that already has been paid very generously, as far as I know, and someone who perhaps his loyalty wasn't with Fulham. At the end of the day, the most crucial deadline passed. He didn't leave us on transfer deadline day or in that window, so we know we have until the end of the season. So that's obviously the first priority because, you know, we're in a bit of a predicament, and we were. We need to make sure that, you know, we have his goals and creativity to ensure that we're not, you know, at the relegation zone towards the end of the season. So we got that far. But by doing this doesn't really guarantee anything else, because at the end of the day, if someone comes to him close season and offers the right money, he could well be off, contract or no contract. You know the loyalty of these days. You know, contracts don't really mean a lot. All it means is that at least we can ask a transfer fee for him. But the fact that we've upped his wages a bit and potentially extended his contract for a year, well, an option to extend for a year. It doesn't give us much more bargaining than we had already, as far as I know, as regards transfer fees. We're still talking about a player who's approaching 30 on a high wage, and I would imagine, you know, he's at the top of his game now. We're not going to see him get any better than this. You know, it's negative as it sounds, but, you know, you think once he gets into his 30s, the problems you have, obviously, with fitness, it's hard for players to maintain their fitness. They get injuries, it's harder for them to shake them off. Let's hope that doesn't happen to him, obviously. But if he wants to play in the Premier League, we're not going to be in the Premier League next season. We can say that for sure. Perhaps the season afterwards, maybe. But, you know, that's a bit of a gamble still. So I'm not convinced he would stay, and I'm not convinced he really stayed because of loyalty. I think he stayed because he was told he had to stay, or we refused to sell him. So I just think that this is a little bit over the top. Much as he's a great player, I don't deny, much as he's done great things for us, and hopefully he'll continue to do great things. But I think he was already being rewarded enough. And I think he alluded to that after QPR. When he was asked about his future, he actually said on the pitch, on Sky, you know, I'm already paid very well by Fulham to do my job, or words to that effect. So do we need to do this? I don't know. For me, it's a little bit of a smack in the face.
It's very interesting, David. We started hearing speculation about this as the transfer window was about to close, and I was a little surprised by it. And then, of course, now we have the deal being done, and I was caught off guard by this. I was not expecting this. I thought that they just re-upped him. I was surprised by it. I'm still a little surprised by it, but there are some good things to come out of it, and I'm going to be playing the interview in just a couple minutes, which is going to talk about where I'm going with on this. Many have already probably have seen it on the Fulham website, but I really want to get into it because there are several different things to get out of that interview. But for me, I will just leave it at this. I was surprised. I did not like how he handled the end of the transfer window, I think it comes down to basically he's going to be getting more money out of this, so it's good for him. But there are some good things to come out of it for Fulham, some good signs, and I think we're going to get that out of the audio clip that I'm about to play, David. So you ready to hear it?
Yeah, I have actually listened to it already, but that's fine. Please play
okay.
it.
Okay. Let's play it, and then we will talk about what we got out of this interview. Okay, without further ado, this is Sarah Brooks interviewing Ross McCormack yesterday. Again, you can watch this on the Fulham website, but here's the audio version.
Ross, not only a new contract, but a potential extension of a year. That's a real statement of intent, both from the club to you and from you to the club.
Yeah, well, I think, having spoke to the owner and the manager recently, I think there's going to be a... There's going to be a change in the club in the summer. You can already see it already. The last maybe 4 or 5 games, if you take away the Blackburn game, that the manager's starting to mould a style of play into us, and all the lads are sort of pulling the same direction, which maybe hasn't been the case for a while since I've been at the club. I think in the summer there's a lot of work to do, but I think going on the back of the last 4 or 5 games, as I say, minus the Blackburn game where we were poor. It's going to be interesting.
Wins breed confidence, obviously, but Blackburn game aside, there have been some really good performances out there. Is that what creates that kind of that spirit of camaraderie and togetherness, seeing changes that are happening because of the way that you're training?
Yeah, I think the only thing that we want to do now is remain consistent. I think in the past when we've had a good performance, maybe we got carried away a little bit. We thought we could just turn up and win games and what have you. But now we know and we need to learn fast that nothing gets given to you in this league. And if we can remain consistent towards the end of the season, sort of pull our way up the table a little bit, then that'll send us into the summer in good shape.
Tell me a little bit about the coach and the coach's style. He's very he doesn't give anything away. Certainly not. Not to the press, but I see you working really, really hard out there on the training pitch, and he's very much involved in that.
Yeah, the intensity of training has definitely gone up since he's come in. It seems to be more of a method to what he's doing. he knows what's going to, you know, he knows how to tailor sessions, whether it be if some of the boys who ain't been playing need a little bit extra, they'll do that, but they'll do it in a way where they'll get benefit out of it. You know, they're not just running up and down the pitch for minutes on end doing fitness work, but it's all to do with the ball and little small side the games, possession and things like that that are going to benefit you. But I think he's, you know, you probably don't see the side to him where he's, you know, he's actually pretty funny and pretty witty and stuff in his meetings, so the lads definitely are on side with him, and I think you can see that. And going back to the last few performances, you know, you can definitely see that the lads are right behind them.
You've made it very clear in the past that, you know, you have an ambition to play in the Premier League. You've made a commitment to Fulham, so that has convinced you that Fulham will get back into the Premier League.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you know, the past couple, well, 18 months anyway, I've not really been acceptable for a club like Fulham, who have been in the Premier League for so long, not to even be mounting any sort of challenge to get there. You know, I think as a footballer, for me personally, if I'm not playing in the Premier League, then I want to be, you know, I want to be in a position where you're fighting to get to the Premier League. And I think, given all the chats and stuff I've had with the owner and certainly the manager and even the boys in the dressing room, everyone's as one, and they're desperate to be in a position to do that.
18 goals so far this season, 19 goals last season. What kind of target have you set yourself? Where do you see this season finishing? One for the football club in terms of league position, but two for you and your own target.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I think the most important thing is the club staying in division. I think our quality is starting to show through now. You know, on our day we can beat anyone in this league, and we've shown against Hull and against Derby and teams like that we can give them a game, and I'm sure on Saturday as well we'll show Middlesbrough that we're, you know, every bit as, hopefully as good as them.
And for you personally, your target?
Personally for me, you know, I said when I signed here as well, you know, I never put any pressure on myself to go and score goals or create goals or anything, so I haven't really got a target. But once you get to that level where you've scored a few and you're only two behind Andre Gray, you know, the ambition for me now is definitely to go and finish as top scorer. Whether I can do that or not, you know, remains to be seen, but I'm definitely confident.
You had a go at me because you said I didn't put all your goals in the programme 1 week, so I know they're important to you.
Yeah, I'm counting. Yeah, so, but like I say, you know, there's no targets, but, you know, now that I'm up there amongst the leaders, you know, I want to be at the top as I was at Leeds.
Well, we wish you luck for the remainder of the season.
Thank
and
you.
Congratulations on your contract.
Cheers, thank you.
And now you can smile.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done on Thursday with the Fulham player, Ross McCormack, by Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks. And thank you, as always, Sam Green, for sending this to me. You sent me both of the audio clips that we'll be using in the show. All right, David, I got a great deal out of this interview. I'll share my thoughts, but I want your thoughts first. What stood out for you from this interview with Ross McCormack?
Well, you know, I've spoken to Ross myself directly a few times, and I, you know, despite what I said before about, you know, being unhappy with this, I think he's a very nice guy. When I spoke to him, I found him very elegant to speak to and everything, and he seems quite genuine. I think he does realise that, you know, as he said on the Sky interview, that he was on a good contract here and that he was a professional and he would always play to the best of his abilities while he's a Fulham player. Obviously, that doesn't, you know, that's both ways thing, that he's not saying he's going to be forever, but while he is here, he's going to do the best of his abilities. But I think the underlying tone, obviously, from what he said in this particular interview was that there's a, you know, improvements, you know, that in the dressing room, in the management and everything behind the scenes, things are starting to come together at last, and that, you know, we, you know, at last can be hopeful about our sort of future outcome. Obviously not this season. This season is about survival and ensuring that. But next season, I'm not sure if, you know, this was in conjunction with the visit by Shahid Khan recently. I have seen some speculation that we're going to be going all out, you know, shit or bust next season, let's say, for promotion, which is a dangerous thing because obviously if you fail, then we'll be back to the FFP situation again. But you get the impression that, you know, that the manager has got backing to bring players in who he wants within reason. And the reason and Ross has signed and or extended is that, okay, this is, you know, a better deal for him. And who, you know, who frankly would say, no, I don't want more money? I mean, if you said to me, David, I'm gonna double the wages I give you for coming on Cottage Talk, I'm not going to say no, Russ, probably, am I? No, don't give me any more money. You already pay me too much. So that's just a joke. We don't really get money for coming on Cottage Talk, honestly. But, you know, in any other job, you know, who would actually turn the money down? You'd have to be a very wealthy and a very, very moral person to sort of turn down the offer of more money if it was put in front of you, I think, really. Say, no, give it to the poor people in Africa or whatever. But most people are going to take it, obviously. So I can't criticise him too much for that. But I'm not sure what the leverage was towards this happening, whether it was, you know, a sweetener, as in, you know, we're not going to sell you, but stay here and be a good boy and we'll give you more money. Or if it was something that was negotiated the other way, that, you know, give us a better contract and, you know, we'll stop thinking about leaving, or how it came about. But, you know, he paints quite a happy picture now. I think, you know, reading between the lines, it's probably quite damning of some of the previous regimes we've had. You know, previous managers who just weren't up to the job, didn't have the right idea, as opposed to Slavica now, who obviously, you know, we're starting to see, you know, things coming together a little bit. It's not there, you know. I think we still have to make changes to the squad at some point, I'm sure, but it's starting to come together. And, you know, I believe that, you know, Ross is reasonably taking it, you know, in good faith, that we have serious ambitions now to get back to the Premier League or to challenge for the Premier League, and that, you know, I think he does want to be a part of it. Saying that, on the other hand, I think if it doesn't happen, if at the start of next season it's not happening, I'm sure he'll be off. But if he hasn't gone in the summer, that is. But maybe by January, most certainly. But for now, status quo is resumed, and obviously all is normal. Just on one other thing you mentioned, I noticed, obviously, you mentioned about Sam Green off. I noticed the Fulham groundsman is off as well. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
He's leaving soon as well. I'm not sure what's happening. If it's just a coincidence, I'm sure. But I'm not sure if he's going to Reading, because he's a Reading fan, of course. Or if he's been offered a job somewhere else. But yeah, I noticed he tweeted earlier that he's in his last month, I think, at Fulham now. So he's off soon as well. So let's hope we have someone else waiting in the wings, because the standard of the playing surface at the Cottage has been excellent, to be honest with you.
It has.
You missed the years when the water table level of the Thames was higher than the pitch, probably, and the pitch was like the Thames. It was like playing in a mud bath, especially when we had a period of playing rugby league at the Cottage as well, sharing with initially the Fulham rugby league team. The pitch was absolutely dreadful. It was really dreadful. But over the years, obviously technology has come on in these things and it's got better. But, you know, we have a fantastic pitch now all year round, which enables us hopefully to be able to sort of play the stylish football that we're trying to play.
No, listen, David, I'm glad that you mentioned that, and I wish him the best in his future endeavors as well. And, you know, it's sad to see good people go, and especially someone like you just mentioned. I'm talking about Sam, but mentioned the person who's in charge of the pitch. It's very important because the pitch is excellent, and let's just hope whoever is replacing him keeps it in the same shape that it currently is in. My thoughts on the interview, David, it's funny. I was taking it in. I've watched it a few times, listened to it a few more times, and the one thing that I got out of this is that he's bought in. For whatever reason, it seems like to me Ross McCormick has bought in that Fulham are potentially going to go for it this summer, and they're going to make a push. I don't know, you know, if it's going to be the type of push you're talking about, but I think this is just my opinion. I think he was told that they're really going to go for it. He even mentioned that he's expecting a change of the club in the summer, meaning that they're really going. I think you're going to see a sign of intent this summer to really go for it
for promotion next season. I think we're going to see it, and I think we, if you read between the lines, I think that's what I was getting out of the interview, that he's also bought into the style of the manager. He's also, you know, again, he's talked to the owner. You know, there seems to be everyone's coming together on the same page. That's kind of what I got out of this, David. You know, we just came out of the January transfer window with all that drama. Now we have this completely changed situation where he's signing a new deal, and you know, and he's actually doing an interview talking about it, talking about Fulham in a positive manner, looking forward to playing with Fulham. That to me is what stood out for me. His change in attitude, you know, publicly, and then of course, you know, it just seems like to me, David, he's bought in.
You know, I do take that point, but some of what you were saying was exactly what we heard before. We've heard that all last season, you know. This season we'll get through, and then at the end of the year, start of next season, we're going to be going for it. You know, you said it, everyone said it, it's been said before. So we need to see action, and we need to see deeds. We don't want to have talk, really, this time. You know, we've had so much hope and false hope in the last few years, really, that, you know, this is going to, we're going to turn things around. Maybe Felix would save us. Felix would get us straight back. He was useless. You know, Kit, not much better, unfortunately. And now, at least we do have someone now that I think has united the fans more than anyone for years, probably. Maybe since, certainly since Joel, maybe since Hughes, probably even Roy. Someone, we have a Man United fan. I don't think there's anyone out there that that I've seen would as critical of Slavisa at all. I mean, you know, when we appointed Kit, you know, myself and Emilio certainly were never really for it, and we went along with it begrudgingly. But I don't think that's the case this time. I think we really do have the whole fan base really and everything behind this. So perhaps it will be different this time. You know, it really will. We have to hope so, most certainly. But
yeah,
we have heard it before, and you have to say that, all this, you know, positivity for next season and where we're going. And it's not an easy league, you know that. And, you know, we could be faced with potentially some big clubs coming down from the Premier League. Some of the people near the bottom at the moment, I'm talking off the top of my head, but probably Aston Villa for certain, of course. And then we've got people like, you know, Newcastle and Sunderland hovering down there as well. And they're both big clubs with big fan bases. Villa also, really. And, you know, they will be hard to compete against. They'll be desperate to get straight back to the Premier League if they came down. So, you know, there's no guaranteed place, even if we do well. sorry, Anthony Evans just put me off. She just said Slavisa out. So she's just, I think that's... Thank you, Anthony. I know you don't mean it really, but thanks for listening over there in New Zealand. And I know you love him all as much as we do, really, yeah?
Okay, David, very good. Listen, what I'm going to do right now, I got an advanced copy of Shad Khan's, I guess you could say, his statement in the program from the chairman, and I'm going to read part of it to you and get your thoughts on it, because I think it goes a little bit to what we're talking about, looking forward to the rest of the season in the summer. I'm just going to read to you. I want to get your thoughts on it. You can see this in your program tomorrow if you do get a copy of it. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm just going to read a portion of it. Again, these are the words of Shad Khan. Greetings to the Fulham family from Montsport Park, where I've spent time this week to further get to know Slavisa Jokanović and his staff, as well as to measure the effect of his arrival has had on our first team and throughout your club. To get to the point, this is by far the most impressive operation I've been at Fulham since becoming chairman in the summer of 2013, and I anticipate that you'll sense the continuing transformation today when the Whites welcome a very accomplished Middlesbrough side to Craven Cottage. In short, Slavisa has changed the environment and earned the respect of everyone at the club, from football to the front office. In the process, I saw personally on Tuesday at Leeds United where we played well enough to win, and I hope you'll agree that our performance overall have been markedly better over the past month, even if the results at times didn't reveal it. This isn't to say that Slavisa is running at Montsport Park in a militaristic fashion. It's not that at all, but it's also far from being cozy and comfortable, as many observers described our club in recent campaigns. From what I've seen this week during training, accountability is demanded, details are important, and effort is expected. In summary, our standard finally are where they should be for a club with our reputation and history, and it's in the end there are two clear winners. Any player who takes seriously his obligation to represent Fulham as they're getting the playing time they deserve, and of course our fans who flat out deserve a better brand of football than we've produced over the past several years. A final thought on Savitsa's impact. I attended our match on Tuesday at Leeds, and first I want to thank the many supporters who made the long trek and treated me so well at Ellen Road. No surprise there. Fulham fans are first class in good times and bad, and I'm happy they were able to leave Leeds with a point and witness firsthand the progress we're making. Before the match, I visited Savitsa and the team, and in the dressing room, I saw a fighting spirit in your squad that I feel has been missing too frequently. My takeaway, Slav has laid down the law to perform, tackle, and maybe take a stitch or two or go somewhere else. So full credit to Savitsa and his staff for attacking this challenge with urgency and the belief that this season can yet be rewarding. And thank you to Savitsa and the football operations team for an effective, if not impressive, January transfer window, despite the embargo that we understood long ago would be in play. The loan arrivals of Zakaria, Labied, Rowan Ince, and Michael Maddle, and the recall of Fernando Amorebieta have contributed to making us better. Add to that, keeping intact the explosive pairing of Moussa Dembele and Ross McCormack, and we probably could not emerge from January in better condition. I'm particularly pleased that we have reached a new contract agreement with Ross, our top goal scorer, who is determined, as all of us, to see Fulham's return to the Premier League. All right, David, just wanted to share that with you. What do you get out of the comments from Shai Khan, which you can read it in your program for the Middlesbrough match?
Yeah, it's all positive stuff, but remember, this is Holly Mark 1 here still, and it's, you know, I'm going to be skeptical and say, you know, we've heard it all before. Let's see some action, basically. You know, that's all you can say, isn't it? You know, I think we agree that we're in the best shape now than we've been for a long time. Probably, you know, since we came down from the Premier League, we're in the best shape to start moving forwards. But we need to see action, not words.
Okay, very good there, David. Listen, I agree with you. It was very positive. You can take it for what it's worth. I recommend just reading it, get your thoughts on it. He also mentioned something that I think Fulham fans should read it. There is something that they're going to be doing for George Cohen, so just read it. That's also in his program notes, so check that out as well. That's something to look forward to in the future. All right, David, what I thought I would do now, we are going to table the round table for this week because I want to play the interview with Slavica done earlier. There's some very interesting things that's going to help us with our preview of the match coming up. Sound good?
Yeah, we're not going to rank the managers then today?
No, we will do that in the next preview show. I'm sorry, David, but I think it's important for us to play this this audio clip because I think it's really going to help with our preview.
You missed out because Holly Mark 1 was going to say that we are already safe from relegation as well, but when Holly Mark 2 comes back, he's going to keep you on tenterhooks for change. So, yeah, we'll listen to that anyway. Also, before we go into that, can I,
yep.
I promised I'd do this. Our old friend Matchworn Fulham, Matchworn
yep.
Shirts 1, I think, on Matchworn Shirt 1 on Twitter, is walking to Reading next week with his friend in aid of charity. And if you could, have a look at his donation page, charity page, and maybe make a contribution, would be great. He's got to walk 38 miles, I think it is, to Reading. Hope he makes it. If he does, I'm not sure whether he should get an award or a white coat because it only takes 20-odd minutes on the train from Paddington and it's about a tenner for a cheap day return. But good luck to Lee and everything. And so, yeah, Matchworn Fulham, Matchworn Shirt 1 on Twitter. Go and have a look at his Reading walk. 38 miles for three charities, Lee and his friend Luke, next Saturday, of course, for the Reading game. So have a look at that if you can. Dig deep for the charity, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, Very good, David. I'm glad that you mentioned that about Lee and his friend Luke. Best of luck to them, and please do go check out his page. All right, David, it's now time to play Slavisa's interview done earlier today again with Sarah Brooks. So without further ado, here is Slavisa.
Slavisa, it was a marked improved away performance at Leeds on Tuesday night from the previous week, certainly from the Blackburn game. But a point was disappointing for you because of that performance.
Yes, I believe we made enough good things for won the game, but we didn't be clinical. We missed many chances. We missed many last passes in the game. At the end, they have chances too, but we, in my opinion, we was be more close for win the game. It's we push this team a little bit more, be more competitive, more better, and start believing in our possibility. But it's still this job is not done, and we need to be positive and try improve ourselves. There is space for improvement, and we have to continue it and carry on.
You lost Fernando at the end of the game to a second yellow card, which means that he is not available for selection tomorrow. You have a number of centre-backs to take that position. Do you have confidence that there is a suitable replacement for tomorrow's match?
Yes, I have people for replace Fernando. I was be very unhappy because I start thinking and talking about some rules, what I... in my view is without any sense didn't have any opportunity for appeal this mistake. In the same moment, we have enough prepared people in the squad for a game what is front of us. I don't expect this is big problem for us.
And Luke Garbutt, is he fit? Because he came off as well.
He's fit. It's in the last game against Leeds. It's four game in 10 days. At the end of the game, many players start be tired and have some small problem. One of these problems have Luke Garbutt and Ryan Fredericks too. But both players, it's ready for tomorrow game.
Middlesbrough come. Fighting for promotion, for automatic promotion. They're a tough team, they've got good players, they're organised, they're strong. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I expect something like this. I expect, I know Aitor Karanka very well. I am sure he's going to waiting for us for make some mistake. It's Middlesbrough's team, they don't play some attractive football. But they don't make mistakes during the game, and they always believe opposite team gonna make it mistakes before us. And in this way, we need to be concentrated. We need to be ready and prepared for compete. I am not sure what we're gonna find tomorrow in the pitch, but it's probably can be some kind of the little bit boring days for in the stadium. We probably need offer our supporters and ourselves high level of the concentration and play some tactical game
and be patient.
It's I expect some long game. It's tomorrow. It's not game where we're gonna make many chances. And it's probably we need to be more clinical, and where these chances arrive, we'll enough concentrate for score the goals.
Ross McCormack yesterday signed his new contract. He talked very highly of you and the chairman, and the way that you had encouraged him to be around at Fulham for the long term because of the future and the prospects for the future. What did you say to Ross to make him feel confident in this way?
It's Ross is it's man who has similar dreams like me. It's both of us want to be part of the Premier League one day, and in this life present don't exist, and we, me and him, and another people too in the football have to fighting for this target. Actually, right now this is only dream, and for make this dream real, we need realistic. We need working very hard. I am new face here in this club. I observe people around me. I know people is observe me too. My players too. Actually, right now, I believe exists little bit more confidence between us. They understand what I want and what is final target. I am not talking about final target. My more important target is tomorrow game, but dreams exist, and Ross is part of this. We need to build the team around him. He is one of the more quality striker in the category. Definitely, he can quality for playing in the Premier League. But it's our realistic life is here. I am very happy because I am here. I believe he is very happy too, and we're gonna push all together with all the club, with all the players, with all the staff, and the club for take this dream in the future. How many times we're gonna need? I expect shorter possible time. We can be fighting for the more important targets. What we are fighting actually right now.
And right now, the target is 3 points tomorrow against Middlesbrough.
Exactly. It's only important. It's next step. Next step is try test ourselves against one of the best team in the competition. I'm gonna repeat. It's very competitive team. It's team who know play for win the games, and this is necessary for fighting for what they are fighting actually right now.
We wish you luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done today, which is Friday, with the Fulham head coach, Slavisa Jokanović, by Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks. I got a tremendous amount out of it, David. We're going to talk about it right now. The first thing I'm going to mention to you, first thing that jumps out to me, David, is apparently Luke Garbutt should be fit to play.
Well, that's obviously good news, because at the moment, you know, I think if we want to play the 3-5-2 system that, you know, we've been banging on about, and that most people seem to agree works well in the main, that he is an integral part of that, because it's really based upon having the right people as wing backs to make it work. And we've seen that on the right hand side, that Fredericks has been a very useful wing back, getting forward, especially getting behind the defence a few times, but still being able to adequately get back and defend sometimes if you're not too tired anyway. But Garbutt, likewise, a little bit more steady on the left, but, you know, does seem to be able to contribute getting forward as well as doing his share at the back. If he wasn't available, you know, I talked about this earlier with you offline, and it's quite hard to sort of anticipate who you really could put in there at left wing back to do a job. Ream would be, I think, too defensive, and Kakalicic would be too lightweight and too attacking. So there isn't really someone with a balance. So I think that's really key to the 3-5-2, and my gut feeling is that he will stick with the 3-5-2 because he's seen the last couple of games how it's worked better, and also because of the fact that he's mentioned Richard Stearman coming in. If we weren't going to be playing the 3-5-2, there's no need to bring an extra defender in, of course, because we have Dan Byrne and Maddle who've been playing centre back. So if he wanted to go to four at the back, you'd think that he'd just leave those two there and obviously then bring in or leave the wing-backs as full-backs or, something like that. So Luke Garbutt is, for me, the most important one at the moment. And I never thought I'd be saying that, really, because I wasn't really overly impressed with him early on. But I think in the shift of 3-5-2, it's been more suited to him than when we play in a flat back four. Saying that, of course, I still would rather see James Husband. I think he was, he would be much be the yang to Fredericks Yin on the other side, because he's also quick getting forward, gets to the byline, I think, t- takes people on and beats them. And so he would be, you know, my ideal target still, if we can get him. But we haven't. So Luke Garbutt has to do the job, and he has to stay fit for this system to work.
David, I totally agree with you. That's why when I saw the video and saw that Luke Garbutt was fit to play, I was relieved, because I think they need him tomorrow, especially, like you mentioned, if they're going to be playing the 3-5-2 or variation of that. And you also mentioned, I'm just going to read the team news. This is also on the phone website, talking about Richard Stearman. Again, you go right on the phone website, Slavisa Jokanović could call upon Richard Stearman to help fill the void left by Fernando Amorebieta's suspension when Middlesbrough visit the Cottage on Saturday. Amorebieta was shown a contentious second yellow card late at Leeds United midweek meeting. An opportunity has opened up in defense. This is a quote from Slavisa. Richard's going to play in tomorrow's game. He said in his pre-match press conference, he's an experienced player, he can help us on the pitch. It's not an easy situation for him. A new coach came in and chose different players. He's a professional player. He understands the situation and is working very, very hard, and tomorrow is going to be another chance for him. So it does seem like he's going to play in the match tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how Richard Stearman does, David. And before we move on from the interview, another thing that I got out of it, David, it sounds like Slavisa is expecting, as he described, a potentially boring match for the supporters. And he was really talking about this, which I found very interesting. He said Middlesbrough will wait for Fulham basically to make a mistake, and then they will try to take advantage of that opportunity. So this is a game where Fulham are really going to have to be clinical, as he also said in this interview with Sarah, and it's going to be a tactical game, and they need to be patient. Is that what you got out of this as well, David?
Yeah, I think didn't we previously, when we talked about our Middlesbrough match, I don't know if it was last season or early this season, that they're a good counter-attacking side, and they're the sort of team that will just be happy to sort of sit back and soak up the pressure and wait for an opening. I think maybe Hull were a bit like that as well, weren't they, when we played us this year? So, yeah, this is where
they were.
Really have to be on our guard. Because we can sit there and have 70% of the possession, but if they're behind the ball and, you know, keeping us out and we're not getting any penetration, then we're not hurting them, then, yeah, they'll just be waiting for a chance. And we've seen it a few times. We've overplayed the ball possession too much, tried to mess around with it and put ourselves in trouble. For example, the one where Dan Burn could have got himself sent off, you know, with that last-ditch tackle after the Amorebieta mistake against Charlton. And there was, I think it was in the QPR match as well, we did one where we overplayed it. So we've got to be very, very careful what we do. You know, the table doesn't lie, remember that. I remember all my old sayings from before. And, you know, Middlesbrough are there for a reason. They've been grinding out results. But on the other hand, we have to turn our, clock back, and we got a draw there, a very respectable draw there. At the Riverside. And that was under the previous regime. It was less organised, apparently. So, you know, that was, I suppose, that's the boring match that perhaps he's alluding to, something like that again. A match where both sides would be, you know, maybe sitting back, waiting for the other side to make a mistake. Fulham be frightened to commit themselves too much because perhaps, you know, Middlesbrough will pounce on them. Then again, it could all be bluff, of course, by Slavisa. Behind that that steely exterior, you know, and that kind of, Mike said that he's sort of gruff expression, permanently sort of sinister expressions, you know. Perhaps he's a really bundle of laughs and a big joker. And, you know, he's just playing with them. He's a sort of the new Alex Ferguson, perhaps, of the Championship.
Maybe.
Mind games with them. Who knows, you know, what... what really goes on there, because he doesn't come across as being a bundle of laughs, but I believe he's actually quite sort of a funny and jokey man in private. And that's probably a bit like Alex Ferguson as well. He was, you know, could be very, very serious, but privately was, you know, very relaxed and friendly guy. So I don't know, I think it's all a bit of game playing as well, and a bit of cat and mouse.
It could be,
between, yeah. Yeah, well, he has experience with the Middlesbrough coach, of course. He knows him. And so I don't know to take too much from it. You know, at the end of the day, we're the home team. If we just sit back too much and wait for them to break us down, they probably will. So, you know, we've got to take the game to them as well. We've got to ask questions of them, because otherwise, you know, if we just sit back, we're just hoping for a 0-0 draw. It'd be Roy Hodgson of old, won't it? And, you know, 0-0 draw at best or a defeat at worst. So I think we have a game plan there, and it could be a little bit of double bluff from Slavisa.
It's a possibility, David. While you were saying that, I was thinking the same thing. You know, very good managers in several sports have done this. You know, they'll say one thing, but then the actions will be completely different. So you might be on to something. We'll have to see exactly how he plays it. This is a tough, tough team Fulmer playing against. Obviously, 0-0 at their place. Now they're coming to Craven Cottage, and it'll be interesting. And like I told you off air, I watched a good amount of video on them, and they do play a 4-2-3-1. They have those two holding midfielders, and they are tough to break down. They are defensively solid, extremely solid, and they have a very good goalkeeper. Now they have a very good striker in Jordan Rhodes, so they have a really good combination. But they're going to be difficult to break down. But I agree with you, David. I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing a little coy here, that we're going to have to be solid, but they also need to be clinical. They might be more aggressive than he's leading on. We'll have to see how it all plays out. But he was preparing the fans for a boring game, which I found interesting. All right, David, real quick, I'm just going to share with you some basic information on Middlesbrough. This is from WhoScored.com. They're currently third. They have won 18 matches this season, 7 draws, 6 losses. They've scored 42. They've only given up 17, David. Their goal differential was a plus 25, and they're on 61 points. Fulham are currently 18th. We have 8 victories, 12 draws, 13 losses. We've scored 51. We've given up 54. We're on a minus 3 goal differential, and we're on 36 points. Their strengths, very strong in counterattacks, protecting the lead. They are strong in creating long shot opportunities, stealing the ball from the opposition, and defending set pieces. Their only weaknesses, aerial duels, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Their style, they control the game in the opposition's half, attacking down the right, short passes, attempt crosses often, play with width, and they do rotate their first 11. So that just gives you a little information on them. Their leading goal scorer is David Nugent with 7. He's also their leader in assists with 5, but we might see Jordan Rhodes in this match. And like I said, this is a team that has several weapons going forward. You know, I talked to you off air about Albert Odoma. He's a threat on the wing, and of course you have Stuart Downing as well. So they do have players that can punish you. So Fulham are going to have to be solid and really limit their mistakes and be clinical when they have their opportunities. And there might not be that many, David. But that gives you some basic information on Middlesbrough. I'll just give you a quick stats breakdown. Possession, Fulham are currently third in the league at 53.1%. And Middlesbrough are currently seventh at 52.1%. Shots per game, Fulham are 16th at 12.2. Middlesbrough are seventh at 13.1. Passing success, this is a stat that Mike Gregg looks at a great deal. Fulham are currently 6th at 76.2. David, Middlesbrough are 2nd at 77.9. Aerials 1, Fulham are in the back of the league. Well, middle of the pack at 13th at 20.8. And Middlesbrough are 21st at 18.3. Crosses per game, Middlesbrough are number 1 in the league. They average 25 crosses per game. Fulham are 19th with 18. Long balls, currently, Fulham are 14th with 84 long balls, and Middlesbrough are 15th with 82 long balls. Short balls, Fulham are 3rd with 397, and Middlesbrough are 5th with 389. All right, David, real quickly, what are your thoughts about the information I just shared about Middlesbrough?
Well, I wasn't surprised when you said about them being a good counter-attacking team, because I already had that ingrained in my mind from somewhere anyway, that, you know, I remember that from previous. I was a bit concerned when you said they're good at long shots, something, you know, here we go again. I was wondering, mental image went into my mind, is Marcus Bettinelli fit enough to play tomorrow? Because I don't know. I listened to your post-match show with Mike Gregg, and I've watched the goal, you know, conceded up at Leeds, and I still think there's something not quite right with the way Lonergan dives and springs. He doesn't seem to get high enough and up enough and back enough. I know the people have hit shots well. It's not like he's letting absolutely stupid goals. But it just seems to be, and even Mike touched on it. You know, if you let in sort of one or two goals like that, you just have to sort of take it down with experience. But there seems to be a succession of them. And so there's questions to be asked of whether it's the goalkeeper or whether it's the closing down or what. But I don't know, he just didn't seem to get up and back enough for me. I know he's not going to be on his line when the play is 35 yards out, but still, it seems to be a bit slow to pick up on it. So, yeah, that's just been one of my questions about him, really, and his sort of ability on crosses, because otherwise he's been a great goalkeeper for us. He really has. You know, he's on one-on-ones, he's been excellent, and close-range stuff. It's just this long-range stuff and crosses that concern me a little bit. So, you know, we're going to have to be on our guard, stop them shooting, you know, like, you know, I said that with Leeds, because you said Leeds like to shoot from distance. I said we've got to stop them shooting, keep them in their own half. And we didn't do it, and we were punished. I know, you know, most of the time you'd get away with it in that situation, but we were punished again. So, you know, lots to think about for tomorrow, and, you know, in terms of our tactics, even our formation, because, you know, they're strong on the wings. That you could have the argument that maybe he'd think about going to a 4-4-2 to try and, you know, nullify them, two banks of four, try and keep them up the pitch a bit. But then when you look at the players that we have who would potentially play in the wide positions, they're not strong defensive players. You know, you end up putting Tom Kearney on the right. He's not a defensive player and he's wasted offensively.
Right.
Kakanić is on the left again. He's not a defensive player. He's an attacking player, for example. So they're not going to add much to the defence by doing that. So they're going to be bypassed and the full-backs will be under attack, where at least I think with the wing-back system, the wing-backs play higher up the pitch and you've got a chance of holding them further up the pitch. And, you know, and I said to you off-air earlier, Tom Kearney's now had, you know, a few games where he's been playing in his more favourite sort of cam position. And he's been in his best run of form that we've seen from him. And it's, you know, people are suddenly saying, oh, why didn't he play there sooner? Or I told you he should have played there sooner or whatever. So I would be very minded about changing our formation just to try and see if we can do a job on them. I think we've got to play to our strengths, not play to their strengths, really.
Okay, and I hear what you're saying on that, Dave. That's why I'm hoping he still goes with the 3-5-2, or like I said, a variation of that. You know, basically it turns out to be like a 3-4-1-2. It could be that, but I hope that they have three in the backs and we're playing with wing backs. That's what I'm hoping we see, David. All right, key players for tomorrow. I'll give you my key player. I'm curious if this would be your key player, and you can add a name or two. I think Scott Parker is going to be huge tomorrow, David.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious to me that, you know, I thought that last week when he played the 90 minutes and the way they gave, you know, O'Hara and Baird a half each, that they would play those two on Tuesday and rest Parker completely. Maybe that's the key. You know, we have this going up north and not doing very well midweek. Maybe it's because Scott Parker doesn't go up north with us. And so he is going to be huge. And I agree with you completely, because it's, you know, if we're playing the 3-5-2, he's, you know, the real kind of the one there to protect the back four. Maybe, you know, depending who has alongside him as well, likewise. But he's got to organise the team in the midfield. He's got to, you know, protect them through the middle. And I think, yeah, totally. I mean, they've all got big jobs to do, you know. The guys who are playing wide have got to, be wide in a defensive manner and in an offensive manner. Obviously, we need, you know, McCormack to do what he did last year, if possible. You know, put goals past them, which he did. But they've all got a key role to play. But I definitely agree, Scott Parker coming back in, which we assume will be the case, is probably the most important one to, and everything else around him. But then, you know, if we can do that, if he can do his job, then that allows Tom Kearney and others to do their jobs.
Exactly. Exactly, David. That's why I think he's so vital in this match, because he's going to be protecting, whether it's the three or, you know, wing-backs going back, you know, he's going to be protecting the defense, and I think that's really going to be needed tomorrow, and that will allow the other players to do their job. So I think Scott Parker is going to be massive in this match, especially against a team like this, because we're going to need someone that can really take control of this game. He might be the person to really not allow Fulham to make too many mistakes. They have to limit their mistakes against this team, because they will kill you. And as we've been talking about, this needs to be a match where you play
close to the best. Be very careful what you do, but you have to be clinical when you get those opportunities. All right, David, we only have a little over 4 minutes left. Quickly, go through your starting 11.
Well, unless Slavisa pulls a real shock, I think it'll be Lonergan in goal still. Back three of Maddle, Spearman and Byrne. Wing-backs, Garbutt and Fredericks, assuming they're all fit. Central two, now this is the one. Scott Parker and Chris Baird, I think.
Interesting.
I think he'll choose them over and above O'Hara. Maybe O'Hara didn't have his best game up at Leeds. For some reason, Baird seems to be slightly more preferred at the moment. So I think Baird might play alongside Parker to give that added sort of steel in the centre of midfield to protect the back four, allowing Tom Kearney a much more freer role where he doesn't have to rely upon coming back. He can do what he does there, attacking. And, of course, behind the front two of Dembele and McCormack, of course. So very little change, really, from what we've seen lately. 3-4-1-2 to be precise. And let's see if that's what happens tomorrow.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, let's go to predictions from the Fulham supporters. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Twitter page. 85 votes. 46%, David, said a Fulham victory. 34% said draw. And 20% said loss. All right, I'm now going to go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page. We do have some comments. I'm going to read a few of them to you. But I'll go through them fairly quickly. Guy Ruff said 1-1. Simon Ruggs a 2-1 to Fulham. Ben Reed 2-2. McCormack brace. Let's see. Kenneth Elsa said I think we'll lose 3-2. George Kitten definitely 2-1 to Fulham. Let's see. Simon Haneed 2-2. Dean Pill 2-0 to Fulham. Let's see. Robert Muller Young 2-1 Fulham win. Trevor Atkins 1-1. Reg Hollis 2-1 to Borough. Tom Ward, 2-1 to Fulham. Colm Bugler, 3-0 to Borough. Anthony Evans, madly optimistic or just mad, 2-0 to Fulham. This is the game where Slavisa's team will click. Very interesting. All right, David, over to you.
Yeah, I'm in turmoil over this one. I have to admit, on your Twitter vote, I clicked defeat.
Okay.
And I've been trying to think about it, and I'm thinking, can we get something out of this match? I'd like to think, actually, you know, we could get a draw and it would be a respectable result, really. Perhaps we can win it, but I think they're going to be difficult, and I tend to agree with the people who are sort of saying a 1-1 or a 2-2 draw, something like that. But I think it really could go either way. Again, you know, an odd goal either way. I hope we don't see a stuffing like someone said, you know, to Borough. I think it was Colin Bulger. Let's hope Colm's not right today. And I'm not sure if Anthea's right as well either. 2-0, I'd love to see it, but I'm not sure if, you know, Borough were very good last year. If you remember their substitutions they made when they were under pressure, they changed the whole game around. So great thinking. So I think I'm going to stick with 2-2 then and hope that I'm wrong, that we can actually nick it.
Okay, very good, David. And I am going to go with you as well. And I should mention whoscored.com's prediction was 2-2. So we're all going with 2-2, and I'm going to go with Ben Reed, McCormack brace. So just to make things fun, I'm going to go with briefcase Ben and leave it at a 2-2 draw with two goals from Ross McCormack. So, David, before we go, just want to say thank you. Excellent show, my friend. I hope you enjoyed it.
No, I'm not feeling too great today. I've got a bit of a cold, but it won't kill me, I don't think, not after what I've been through anyway. So thanks for having me, and look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right, David, I look forward to speaking to you very soon as well. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For David Holly, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.